Title: Dub Siren Design for Modern Control with Vintage Tone. Advanced Ableton Lesson. Alright, let's build a dub siren that feels like it came out of a slightly busted old sound system box but with modern, repeatable control, so it actually behaves inside a tight 174 BPM drum and bass arrangement. The goal here is performance ready. You're going to end up with one instrument rack you can play, automate, resample, and drop into any roller or stepper's tune without it taking your head off or eating your kick and snare. First, set the scene. Set your tempo to somewhere between 172 and 176. Create a new MIDI track and name it Dub Siren. Monitoring on auto, arm it. Quick mindset shift before we touch any synths. Indeed, NB, the siren is not the sub. It's not even the main lead most of the time. It's mid-range attitude. It's punctuation. If you keep that in your head, your sound choices get way easier. Now for the synth core. Add Ableton Wave Eatable. Oscillator 1. Choose basic shapes. Move the position toward the sine to triangle area. We want smooth, because the grit is going to come later from saturation and bandwidth limiting, not from a super complex wave eatable. Turn on a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices. Keep the tune low, maybe 3 to 8%. Just enough to give it body, not so much that it turns into a wide trance lead. Optional oscillator 2 for edge. Also basic shapes, but push it more squarish. Turn it down a lot. Think minus 12 to minus 18 dB compared to OSC 1. The point is, it should threaten to poke through when you push the rack, not dominate the tone. Now the filter. Use MS2 if you've got it available. Start cutoff around 1.2 to 2.5 kHz. Resonance somewhere like 25 to 45%. A tiny bit of drive, 5 to 15%. This is already hinting at that whistle vibe, without going full cartoon siren. Amp envelope next. Give it a small attack, like 5 to 15 milliseconds, just to avoid clicks. Decay somewhere between 300 and 800 milliseconds. Sustain low, like 0 to 30% depending on whether you want it to feel like a stab or a held note. Release around 150 to 400 milliseconds. Play a note around F4 to F4, and you should get a nice B whoop that can also hold if you sustain it. Now we build the actual siren motion. And this is where modern control comes in. In Wave Eatable, go to LFO1. Choose a triangle wave. That triangle shape is the classic up-down sweep. Predictable, repeatable, and it sits in arrangement like a proper musical element. Set the rate either synced or free. If you like it locked to the grid, start at 1/8. If you like it more organic, set it to something like 2 to 6 Hz. We'll map it later anyway, so don't stress. Assign LFO1 to oscillator 1 pitch. Start with about plus 12 semitones as your max depth, so 1 octave. If it feels too EDM riser, pull it back to 5 to 9 semitones. The dub move is intentional, not overdramatic. At this point, you've got a clean modern siren, but it's too clean. So now we add the secret sauce, instability. Add LFO2. Set it to sine. Set the rate very slow, like 0.10 to 0.35 Hz. This is like the device is warming up, or the power supply is a bit dodgy. Map LFO2 to OSC 1 pitch, but tiny. We're talking 5 to 12 cents, not semitones. Cents. If you hear it as a wobble, it's too much. You want to miss it when it's gone, not notice it while it's happening. Also map LFO2 to filter cutoff, again very small. This is a pro trick. The most authentic hardware feel is usually multiple tiny movements stacked together, not one obvious modulation. Pitch drifts a hair, brightness breathes a hair, and suddenly it feels alive. Cool. Now group Wave Eatable into an instrument rack. Command or Control G. We're going to make 8 macros, and this is where the rack becomes playable. Macro 1 is siren rate. Map it to LFO1 rate. Set the range so most of the knob is actually usable. Teacher tip. Make the first 30 to 40% your sweet spot, and the last 10 to 20% your mayhem zone. Use min and max in map mode aggressively. This is the difference between a fun instrument and a knob you're scared to touch. Macro 2 is sweep depth. Map it to the LFO1 amount going to pitch. Range from basically 0 up to around an octave. Again, set it so it's musical most of the way, and only extreme at the very top. Macro 3 is tone. Map it to the filter cutoff. A good practical range is about 500 Hz up to 6 kHz, but adjust based on your mix. If you're working with bright breaks and a snappy snare, you may not need to open as far. Macro 4 is riso or a whistle. Map it to filter resonance. Keep the minimum not too low, like 15%, and max around 60% unless you want it to self-oscillate and stab people in the ear. Macro 5 is wail. This is your aggression control. you can map it to OSC2 volume, so bringing in that squarish edge. Or, if you're using FM and wave eatable, map it to an FM amount. Either way, this macro is for drop moments. Macro 6 is grit. We'll hook this up once we add distortion and redux. Macro 7 is space. That'll control how much you throw it into dub echo. Macro 8 is duck. That's your sidechain amount so it sits in the drums. Now we build the vintage tone chain, the old box sound. After wave eatable, add saturator. Set drive somewhere like 3 to 10 dB. Turn on soft clip. Pick a curve like analog clip or soft sign. Now, crucial, level match. Turn down the output so when you bypass saturator, the loudness doesn't jump. If you don't level match, you'll always choose more drive because louder feels better. We're trying to choose tone, not volume. Map saturator drive to macro 6, grit. Next, optional but very jungle. Add redux after saturator. Set bit reduction around 8 to 12 bits. Downsample maybe 0.20 to 0.60. Keep dry slash wet subtle, like 10 to 35%. Map redux dry slash wet to the same grit macro. Now one knob adds both harmonics and a little controlled aliasing. That's a big part of the 90s edge, but we're doing it in a way that's still mixable. Now add auto filter and make it bandpass. This is where we force the siren to behave like a mid-range instrument. Set frequency somewhere like 900 Hz up to 3.5 kHz. Resonance 20 to 45%. A touch of drive if needed. Map that bandpass frequency to your tone macro if you want tone to be the main brightness control. This step is key for DNB. It keeps the siren present without swallowing your entire mix. Extra sound design add-on if you want the siren to speak more. Drop an EQ8 after the filter, and create a bell boost around 1.2 to 2.2 kHz. Boost 3 to 8 dB, fairly narrow Q like 3 to 6. If you map that bell gain or frequency to a macro called whistle, you can dial that mouth sound without cranking resonance to painful levels. Now the dub delay, but in a modern way. Create a return track called dub echo and put echo on it. Set echo to sync. Try 1/8 or 1/4. Dotted or triplet-ish timings can feel really good at 174, like that 3/16-ish swing vibe. Set feedback around 25 to 55%. Inside echo, filter it. High pass around 200 to 500 Hz. Low pass around 2.5 to 6 kHz. Add a little character or saturation, light to medium. Keep stereo controlled. You don't need insane width here. Now, on your siren track, automate the send to that return for throws. And here's an arrangement trick that sounds instantly pro. Do negative space throws. Instead of sending the delay exactly on the hit, send it a tiny moment after the hit. The dry stab stays punchy, and the echo blooms into the gap. If you want macro 7, space, to control that send, you can automate the send directly, or if you're deep into performance workflows, you can map it through macro control setups. For most people, simply automating send is clean and reliable. Next, sidechain ducking. Put a compressor after your tone chain on the siren channel. Turn on sidechain and select your kick, or your drum bus. Ratio, 3 to 1 up to 6 to 1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Tune to the groove. Set threshold so you're getting about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. When the kick hits, map the threshold to macro 8. Duck. Now, when the section gets busy, you turn up duck and the siren stays loud without flattening the drums. This is one of those why does this mix sound like a record? Details. Finally, utility at the end for discipline. Keep the siren mostly mono-ish. Set width somewhere like 70 to 110%. If you're using unison and stereo delay, do a quick mono check. Temporarily set width to 0%. If your siren collapses or disappears, reduce unison, detune or narrow the echo return. Now let's talk performance and arrangement so it actually works in a DNB tune. Think call and response. Pre-drop. Give me one or two short wails in the last two bars. In the drop, use it as punctuation every 8 or 16 bars, then throw one into echo at the end of a phrase. For switch-ups, speed up siren rate for one bar right before a fill. In breakdowns, go longer, darker and let the echo tail do the movement while the dry signal stays short. For MIDI, live around F4 to A4. Use short hits, 1/8 to 1/4 notes, and automate sweep depth per hit. Some are subtle. One is the scream. That contrast is what makes the scream feel huge. Advanced variations if you want to push it. 1. A stacked rotary siren. Swap the triangle LFO for a sample and hold style or a stepped LFO. Then constrain it to musical intervals like 0, plus 3, plus 5, plus 7 semitones. that gives you that mechanical select a switch vibe. Super dancehall, super classic. 2. A 2-speed siren macro. Map 1 macro to LFO rate and LFO amount in opposite directions. As you turn it up, the rate gets faster but the depth gets smaller. That creates urgent chatter without it going full EDM. 3. Velocity controlled attitude. Route MIDI velocity to filter cutoff so soft hits are muted and telephone-ish, and hard hits get bright. If you want it even more expressive, also increase grit with velocity by mapping velocity to a macro destination. Then you can perform dynamics instead of drawing automation for everything. 4. Drop mode parallel chain. Duplicate your processing into two chains, one cleaner, one harsher with tighter band pass and heavier distortion. Blend with chain volume. Even better, split by frequency, so the harshness mostly lives in upper mids while the core stays stable. This keeps the siren big without turning it into fizz. Now, common mistakes to avoid as you're dialing this in. First, too much low end. Band pass it, high pass it. The siren does not need to be anywhere near your sub's territory. Second, over widening. A wide, loud siren can smear your snare crack. Keep the core narrow and let the delay be the width. Third, uncontrolled delay feedback. At 174 BPM, feedback builds fast. Filter your delays and automate throws instead of leaving feedback high all the time. Fourth, excessive pitch depth. Huge sweeps feel like festival risers. Keep it dubby. Smaller, intentional movement that grooves with the track. Fifth, no ducking. If it hits with a kick, the groove loses punch. Sidechain is not optional if you want it loud. Let's lock it in with a quick practice routine. Build the rack. Then write a 16-bar drop with your drums and bass. Bars 1 to 8, put one siren hit every 4 bars. Bars 9 to 16, one hit every 2 bars, and at bar 16 do one big echo throw. Automate tones slowly opening across the 16 bars. Increase sweep depth only on the final hit. Make duck stronger in the busiest section. Then resample. Record 8 to 16 bars of you performing the macros. Pick your best 3 hits. And here's a cheeky jungle trick. Layer one of those siren hits quietly under a snare fill as a hype accent. You'll barely notice it consciously, but it makes the fill feel like an event. Final recap to burn it in. Your modern control comes from the macro mapped rate, depth, tone, grit, space, and ducking. This audio version is shortened for playback.